I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The Versus Festival of Words begins Thursday, April 21st, and runs until May 1st, 2016. Its Artistic Director Gillian Christmas joins me now. I'll get her to tell us about Canada's largest alternative literary festival held in and around Vancouver's Commercial Drive. A lot of noted writers, including Ivan Coyote, Richard Wagamese, Wade Compton, Amber Dawn, and Rachel Rose will participate, as well. Versus will host Hullabaloo, BC's Youth Spoken Word Festival, which features 80 youth poets from across British Columbia who will participate in events and workshops. The Canadian Individual Poetry Slam Championship is also a much-anticipated event. Visit versusfestival.ca for events and information on them. Gillian Christmas is an acclaimed spoken word poet who has served on the board of Spoken Word Canada since 2012. She also founded the Peace Pipe Poetry Sessions in Toronto in 2009-2010. This is the sixth year of the festival. Please welcome to the Plant Online program in Vancouver today, Gillian Christmas. Ms. Christmas, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
How long have you? How long have you lived in Vancouver?
I've lived in Vancouver for the last, I guess, 5.5 years now. It was 2011, I guess, 2011 January that I moved out here.
And you'll pardon these personal questions, but I'm curious to know what brought you here.
Well, there was a lot of different things. I had felt drawn to Vancouver for quite a while. I love being out in nature, so that's like a really big part of why I enjoy being surrounded by the mountains and the ocean and everything. But truthfully, there was also something else, and it was that when I was sort of just getting into spoken word and learning about slam and doing a lot of research online about it, one of the things that came up the most was Vancouver Poetry Slam, because it's one of the only slams in the country that regularly videotapes its poets and then puts them up on the YouTube channel. So it was really, I just had this flood of thousands of videos from Vancouver Poetry Slam, and I started watching them. And it was really incredible for me. I saw a number of different artists like R.C. Lazowski, like Brendan McLeod, Barbara Adler, and Shane Coyson, and Lucia Mish, all of these people who were doing the kind of work that I wanted to be involved with, things that were daring and funny and out of the box and, like, silly and quirky. And all of those things just really appealed to me. And so when I started to think about where I would move, it was kind of a no-brainer, and so I came out here.
So you mentioned this YouTube channel, and when I looked you up in preparing for a chat today, I watched about, I guess you have about 10 or 15, probably 20 videos of your performances online.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, so I watched probably about 10 of them, and because I don't know much about slam poetry, and I don't know, you know, what that is. It's not something I've ever attended, and I don't mean to sound patronizing, but it was absolutely powerful. Some of the pieces that you had there.
Oh, I appreciate you saying so.
And I just can imagine what that's like for you as a performer to be in a room like that, because spoiler alert, you received quite well in your performances. I mean, they're snapping their fingers. I wanted to know what that meant, by the way.
Well, the snapping of the fingers is just one of the different ways the audience is allowed to participate in the poem, sort of. So, basically, one of the main sort of fundamental ideas around slam is that it's very populist, and it's not just, you know, a person on the stage preaching to the audience, but the audience is a part of the performance and is meant to sort of engage with the person on stage to some degree, and a way that we can do that to show support for the person on stage without sort of distracting them or pulling them out of the poem is to snap. And the snap just really means it's kind of evolved from the, you know, beat poet days. But in slam context, it means I hear that thing that you said and I appreciate it, or, you know, that really rang something inside of me and I just wanted you to know that I appreciated it. So other ways that people do that is sometimes they make little noises, you know, they might make a, like, noise or something like that that just says, yeah, that was great, I appreciated that. It's so nice on stage as a performer to know automatically that you are connecting with someone and that you're making a meaningful impact. And I think for so many of us writers who have filled notebook upon notebook and, you know, tucked them under our bed or on our shelf or whatever, to have that sort of immediate feedback and validation and support is just, I mean, it's phenomenal. It's what keeps people coming back.
So I looked on the channel. I watched mainly your videos because I was preparing for this. But I saw just the number of different poets in this town that there are. And I guess this speaks to the initial questions I had about when you came to Vancouver, just the richness of the community and putting on a thing like Verses as you do year after year, I guess, is a sign of just how lucky we are as Vancouverites to have the community that we have and that people from all over come to as well.
Oh, absolutely. It is such a rich community and diverse and so welcoming to such a variety of people. I felt at home when I reached the Vancouver Poetry Slam stage, and not just that stage, but when I first got to Vancouver, I performed in every slam or performance show that I could find anywhere that they would have me, and there were so many places that opened their arms to me. So, we are incredibly lucky, and whenever I have the task of planning this festival, it feels like a wonderful gift to be able to give something back to the city of Vancouver and just highlight for everybody who's here what an incredible and vibrant scene we have.
So I've talked to people who run festivals as you do, year in and year out, mm-hmm. and I'm curious to know what it's like for you in terms of putting something like Verses together. What are some of the things that you're thinking about as you're putting together the lineup for 2016?
Well, first, I'm always thinking about, I can't help but think about, what would I want to watch? I get to go to a lot of different festivals for a number of different reasons. One, because I've been, in competitive poetry now for about, 7 years or so. Mm-hmm. So I get to travel to Women of the World Poetry Slam and National Poetry Slam down in the States, CFSW up here in Canada, and then the variety of other places that I perform, and I'm always looking to see what innovative things people are doing and, check out who the new talent is and everything. So I love that I get to all of these people who I kind of, fan freak out about. Yeah. I get to then invite them to Vancouver and all of, the wonderful people that we have here I get to shine a light on. So I can't really ask for a better job than that. But, we try and fill our stages with wonderful people from a diverse set of backgrounds, and one of the main things is that we really do want to expand all of our definitions of what spoken word, poetry, literary arts can be. So you'll see all kinds of mashups happening, you'll see all kinds of workshop stages where artists that we might recognize are working together in really cool ways, creating absolutely new work for the festival, like Ivan Coyote, Amber Dawn, and Kai Chang or Tom are creating absolutely new work that will only show for one night only at the festival. I want it to be innovative. I want it to be welcoming. I want people to recognize themselves in the work that they see on stage. And I want people to go away from it feeling nurtured, feeling inspired, feeling like they've had the opportunity to converse around difficult topics in a way that felt safe or open or, all of these things that we can, these little seeds that we can plant in running a festival like this, that's really the goal.
And it seems to grow year after year. Is that the case? Yeah.
It's grown quite rapidly and, it's an honor to be a part of it and to watch it grow like this. And Chris Gilpin, the former managing director, was a big part of that growth. And Aaron Kirsch, who's our new managing director, has really taken up that task as well. When I came on board, we had a very small program. I think it was something like 20 shows, maybe 18 to 20 shows. It was very slam focused. And it was serving the purpose for the community at the time. But as it sort of developed and all of these other people wanted to be a part of it and the people who were already a part of it started to, request different mediums, different formats. They wanted to showcase long-form storytelling or, comedy and things like that, and we wanted to give them space for that. It just really blossomed, and now this year we have 45 shows, some of them, simultaneously in, I think, over 9 venues around Commercial Drive. And it really has become the kind of spring heartbeat on the drive here. We flood the drive with artists of all sorts. We have sidewalk chalk artists writing poetry all over the streets. We've got all kinds of life happening here. It's really a special thing to be here on Commercial Drive during the festival.
I mentioned this event, the hullabaloo thing. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know about that. I mean, you mentioned a moment ago that you've been I guess, performing slam poetry for about 7 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it might even be 8 years now.
Yeah.
So
what's it like? Because I assume that most of you have a lot of people that come from out of town, from throughout British Columbia, and they're, say, younger poets.
Yes, absolutely.
And so what's that like for someone like yourself, who's in the game, if you will, and you're seeing people who are pursuing this or interested in it at the very least, like you are, but who are younger?
Well, I mean, I think for anyone, you know, as you grow into whatever your craft and your art is, one of the things that I find most valuable and most fulfilling is to then seek out how we can create those spaces that we wished we had when we were coming up for other people, for younger people. I think that's sort of one of the goals of any kind of mentorship, right? To make things easier or better or more accessible for younger people than it was for yourself. And so it's been a wonderful experience to see the infrastructure around the slam community grow to such a degree just in the time that I've been a part of it, and to watch the growth and observe what had happened even before I kind of stepped into it. But, I mean, the fact that there is this BC-wide youth slam competition, I think, is an incredible experience for these youth. For me, my first slam experience was when I was in my 20s, you know, my mid-20s, and I can't even imagine what it would have done for me in my high school years to be able to express myself to the degree that I was allowed to in my adulthood, with such freedom, with such support, with such, you know, warm arms wrapped around you, and not like a spirit of judgment, even though there are judges in the slam.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother situation. We'll talk about that later. But really, the audience is so warm and supportive of all the kinds of stories that come out. And, you know, for students, who are in high school, who are really experiencing some of the biggest changes in their lives, and dealing with a lot of difference, a lot of trying to figure out what their identities are, a lot of negotiating themselves and their own space from their parents and their families. It's really affirming to be able to step on stage and have people say, yes, what you are saying means something, what you are saying is important, and what you are saying is valuable here. I think that the more we can create spaces like that for people who have traditionally not had them, is, you know, that's the goal.
So you're someone who's won championships in slam poetry and the sort. You must get questions from people about what it is, but I guess the more important questions are people who see what you all do and who would like to do it. I mean, have they got questions in terms of how to pursue this performance and art in general?
I mean, yes, absolutely. I could probably talk anybody's ear off about slam at this point. you know, there's so many different aspects to it, and there's so many different approaches to it, and a variety of things that you can get out of the experience. But I think first and foremost is just dip your feet in and get involved. There's so many slam scenes across Canada now. They're all across the world, really. I mean, the Canadian Individual Poetry Slam Championship, the winner of that, which happens in their Versus Festival, traditionally has gone on to represent English-speaking Canada on the world stage in Paris. So there's so many places that you can go, and all you need to do is really get involved. One of our sort of most famous poets in the Vancouver scene, who's no longer with us, Zacchaeus Jackson Nice, had a story that he often told about how he got involved in slam, and basically he was having a rough day and argument with his partner at the time, and walked down the street, Commercial Drive, and saw the sandwich board outside of Café du Soleil. It said Poetry Slam Tonight. He said, I have something that sounds like poetry, and I feel like I want to slam something right now. So he went inside, and he won. And he, you know, and that was all it took to open the door for him. And I had I think a lot of people have a similar experience in that you just walk in off the street. It's one of the things about slam is that it's for the people. You don't have to have a degree to get on stage. You don't have to be vetted in some sort of way. You just have to have a story and be willing to get up there and raise your voice and speak it. And that is an amazing thing in and of itself.
So I've mentioned these videos of yours that I've seen online, and some of those, I guess, are ones that you've won championships for, these pieces that you've performed. You know, you mentioned that you can just walk off the street and dip your toes into it, and you know, this may seem insulting, but it seems, when I watch some of these videos online, it seems easy to do. But I can tell, especially the ones that I've watched of your videos, that they do take a certain amount of preparation, don't they? I mean, you don't just walk on stage and pour your heart out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think
you have to prepare even for time, even just to keep it within those 3 minutes, right?
Certainly. Yeah. And I think, you know, with any craft, really any work that you do, if you do it well, then it looks easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
you know, you could see a gymnast pull off like an incredible routine, and if they do it well, then it looks effortless. And there's always a lot of work that goes into it. You know, I think because of the competitive aspect of slam, it kind of nudges artists in the direction of sort of sharpening their skills in certain ways. So memorizing their poems, making sure that they stay within the time limit, which generally is 3 minutes and 10 seconds, a 10-second grace period at the end. And so, you know, you will have to practice. You'll have to make sure that you can make eye contact with the audience when you're performing. Make sure that you're not speaking in a monotone sort of way, so that you're actually engaging with the audience. Using mannerisms, using the space, making sure that you are able to use the microphone appropriately. Like, all of these things take some sort of attention and some sort of time to master. And it is definitely a process for any spoken word artist who approaches the stage. And, you know, the videos that you've seen of me are probably appear quite polished, but I don't suggest that you do this. But if you were to go back a little further, I'm sure that you would discover some where I am quite nervous, or, you know, they don't appear as smooth. And it's just all a learning curve. It's all a process, a practice, and sort of a building of a muscle, you know?
Yeah, and I guess I guess the more you do it, it's like everything else in life. The more you do it, you derive something from it every time.
Exactly.
And hopefully you're better, I suppose.
Exactly.
The other thing, you mentioned scoring earlier, and
yeah.
I was reading one of the, I guess, the blurbs underneath the video, and it said that you'd gotten a score of 88.3 on one of them. And it threw me off, because I understand slam poetry to be, you know, an organic sort of process, but, I mean, the score in it, you must have something to say in terms of how that's done and how that affects one's performance.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different ways that you can think about the scoring in slam, and it's very easy to take it to heart and to have the fact that you're being judged very visibly by these judges,
mm-hmm.
in the audience,
yeah.
These three random or five random judges who are plucked out of the audience. It can really take a toll on your ego, on your self-esteem, if you let it. But I try and remind myself whenever I'm competing that, you know, people are always judging you, and people are always going to have some sort of reaction to whatever it is that you say. Most of the time, you don't have the privilege of knowing what that reaction is. Most of the time, you don't get that feedback. You don't get to know if you connected with someone, because it's all internal. And people might sit quietly at a poetry show and listen to an entire set of poetry that they don't like, and you'll never know as the artist, you know. But at the slam, you have this gift, really, from the audience, from the judges, that is, you get to see what that feedback is. And you might not know why. You might not know why someone gives you a particular score, but, you know, you can make certain guesses about it. You can use it to inform how you perform that piece in the future, or whether you perform that piece in the future. Edits that you might make, did this joke land, didn't it? All of those things are information that you get from the judges and the audience. And to me, that's one of the greatest benefits to slam. You know, it's not necessarily the spirit of the competition, or the fact that, you know, people can win money afterwards or any of that stuff. I mean, to me, one of the greatest things that you get is that connection with the audience, the feedback, and the ability then to go back into your work and you know, analyze it and observe it and see what is working and what isn't, as well as the camaraderie and the connection with the other artists, because you are all being vulnerable. You're all sharing something, and you're all taking a risk by allowing yourself to be so visibly judged. So, I mean, I think it can be of great benefit to artists. Mm-hmm. I think it also can be very good for the ego to sometimes receive a bad score. I have had it happen several times, you know, more times than I care to call upon right now. But, you know, I think that it is actually a good thing every once in a while to be checked and to say, oh, okay, yeah, that maybe there was something wrong in what I said there. Or maybe it wasn't that there was something wrong in it, but maybe this is a challenging piece, and I have to be aware of that when I bring it to stage. There's all kinds of information that you can get from the judges, and I think if we're patient and if we're humble and if we're willing to listen, then it can greatly benefit our performance skills.
I guess when I saw the number 88.3, I just thought it was so precise. That
well, yeah, there's one decimal point. All the judges get one decimal place. So basically they score between 0.0 and 10.0. And I think what you saw was my cumulative score for the entire evening.
Mm.
So your possible perfect score in every round is a perfect 30. So if you got 3 tens,
yeah.
Then that would be your perfect score. The thing is that you have, and I could get into this and go forever, I won't, but you have 5 judges, and the low score and the high score are dropped.
I see.
So your possible perfect score is 30 in any round of the slam. And the reason we drop the lower and the higher score is because you never know. Maybe that one judge who's randomly picked just had a breakup with their partner, and their partner looks kind of like you, and they're just going to judge you harshly because of that.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe they hate love poems, and you decided to do a love poem, regardless. Or maybe they're your best friend, and they give you a 10.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we want to make sure that we keep it as fair as possible, so we drop the highest and the lowest, and we take the rest.
You, in listening to you in these last few minutes, you draw so much, these different elements of performance and different elements of art into a performance on stage, speech making, music, poetry, comedy even.
Absolutely.
What's it like then for you to prepare for all of this in terms of all these elements of performance and art? Did you find that you are better at one than the other, say?
Oh, absolutely. I have strengths and not so strengths.
Yeah.
You know, we all do. We all have our weaknesses. But I think it's an interesting way to try and create a well-rounded performance or a well-rounded performer. Is to look at slam from all of these different angles, or look at performance just in general from all of these different angles. Like I said, when I came out here from Toronto, one of the things that really appealed to me was the different approach that I saw in a lot of the work that Vancouver artists were doing, including R.C. Wazlowski, who his performance is very influenced by clowning and by that sort of, you know, there's a little sad clown in there, but there's also a lot of joy, and he does a lot of like body work on stage and takes up space in the room, and it's really a beautiful thing to watch, and you just kind of bubble with joy watching him sort of express himself in this way. And for me, who like one of my, I guess maybe it's a weakness, maybe it's just a thing about the way that I perform, but I tend to be very still on stage. I don't do a lot of running around or moving around. And so it was very interesting to me to see that and to say, like, that's someone I can learn from, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
someone that has a skill that is so incredible and so magnetic, and maybe I could glean a little bit of that. And so to have this great variety of artists as demonstration for you, it's really an interesting way to see where your strengths and weaknesses are and see how you can borrow and lend to each other to strengthen the whole community that we have here.
So when you, because you draw on all of these things for what you do on stage as a slam poet, mm-hmm. when you do have to, say, write an essay or write a poem or play Scrabble or do a crossword puzzle, to speak to a lover, say, are you better at those things because you have drawn on, say, many different talents on stage?
Well, you know, I hope so. I sure hope so. I you'd have to talk to my lovers about that one. I'm not entirely sure. It has been said that spoken word artists are excellent at expressing love on stage, and maybe not always
off stage.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I won't speak for the experience of my lovers there, but I will say that I hope that all of the things that we collect in life, you know, all of our experiences, help to make us more well-rounded individuals, better able to take on all kinds of different tasks. And I think that specifically spoken word does help me in a lot of aspects of my life, and even in the organizing of a festival like this, you know, approaching people, letting them know about what's happening in the festival, just being able to articulate myself in those ways. I think that is a strength that I draw on from my spoken word work. And, you know, when we go into schools, I teach workshops in schools, as do a number of the spoken word poets that you'll see in the Vancouver scene, mm-hmm. and across the country. And that's maybe one of the reasons why the youth community has been growing so much. But I go into schools, and one of the things that I often tell them, and one of the things that I have learned from other poets to tell these students, is that you might not, I don't expect all of you to become poets. Like, that's a daydream. I'm not here to convert everybody into a slam poet. But these skills that I'm going to try and give you are skills that will affect all aspects of your life, that will make it easier for you to communicate with the people you live with, your family, you know, your employers, that will make it easier for you to express yourselves and your emotions in any aspect of your life. So you might not be drawn to the stage. You might not be drawn to writing poetry at all, but you will now have these skills that will carry you through job interviews, through, you know, any number of activities that you might find yourself in. And that is really one of the big goals, I think, just to make us better communicators, make us more able to connect with each other, and more able to draw on our emotions in a kind of world that maybe tells us that that's not okay.
I know how when people have events to promote, and I was looking at the list of events for Versus, and just as you mentioned, 45 shows, it might be trite to say, but I mean, there is stuff for everyone, isn't there?
I mean, I hope so. I'm sure that there are always going to be spaces left to be filled, and I hope that people will come up to us and let us know, you know, this is something I want to see in the next festival, because we really do draw on the advice and support of our community to let us know where to go in the future. But we try and create a wonderful spread that includes things that everybody will want to get involved with, and if they have... Maybe they'll go to something that is familiar to them, but because we've mixed up all of the artists and have people working together in new and interesting ways, maybe they'll see someone that they might not have seen otherwise, and it'll attract them to a different sort of side of spoken word, or a different side of this community. And that is really the goal, to cross-promote, to cross-pollinate, to erase the kind of lines between us, like the imaginary lines that divide artists and art forms and mediums, and just to let us mingle and see what we can create together, and, you know, just to create a really enjoyable experience for the audience. I hope that we do that. I know I enjoy the show.
yeah, and as I said, there's a lot for a lot of people to look forward to, and these are events in and around Commercial Drive, so they're accessible, and you'll get to meet a lot of interesting people along the way.
Certainly.
Yeah. You told Dina and Daniel over at Can't Lit that you're working on a book. Is that right?
I am working on a manuscript. It is true. It's not a book yet, although I have had lots of wonderful encouragement, especially from people like Dina and Daniel. But yes, I am working on a manuscript, and it's very close to done. And when I finish this this festival project for the year, I will dive back into it, and hopefully it will be a live, real thing very soon.
Is that how you view your career, say, in terms of how it progresses?
That
having a book is say, the next logical step, if you will?
You know, I don't know if I'd even say it's the next logical step. I do a lot of different artistic things. You know, I play music as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm a visual artist as well. So there are a lot of different ways that I can go, but it is something that I've wanted for a very long time, to have a book that I can hold in my hands and say, this is mine. You know, like, I've been included in different anthologies, and I'm so grateful to be included in those spaces. But it's, I think it's a whole nother kind of thing. It's like an entirely different instrument to have this space that is all yours, to design as you wish, to lay it out as you wish, and to really create a voice for yourself. I think it is definitely something that I would like to put on my shelf and send to my mom.
Well, until then, you've got Verses later this month, and all good wishes with that. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate the chat.
Thank you. I really appreciate it as well.
Versesfestival.ca is the website. You can get the whole lineup there, and it runs the 21st of April to May 1st, 2016. It's artistic director Jillian Christmas. Join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.